Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's edition of the Rich Urban Show. We bring you news and views from the Unification Principle point of view. We're happy to have Mary Ann Claytor on today. She's running for auditor on the Democratic ticket. So please introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Mary Ann Claytor, and I live in St. Albans, West Virginia, which is in Kanawha County. Was born and raised in Cabin Creek, which is a coal town, 12 miles up a hollow. We always say, everybody says Cabin Creek, but those of us who live there are actually like, well, we live up Cabin Creek because I was actually born and raised in Estelle, like the town there. I worked for the auditor's office for 22 years. As a real auditor, and my son became ill, and I quit and started my own business. And during that time, he passed away in 2020. But during that time, I started doing financial statements for the local governments that I audited, providing training. So I've still had my I guess you can say hands in the world of governmental accounting.
Okay.
So that's why I pretty much still know a lot of what's going on. But I'm a wife, mother, grandmother. Let's see, 6 grandchildren. We had 3 children. But we just celebrated our 40-year anniversary in July.
Wow! Congratulations. Super important.
Yes. Yes, okay. It is.
It is. Yeah, yeah. I worked a lot with youth-based and education and for the next generation, things like that. Yeah, definitely. So what do you think the most important issue facing the Office of the Auditor is right now?
Well, we really do need to get the audits caught up. And since the new auditor took over, the ones that we were generally caught up on have gotten even more further behind. And one of the, a big issue that I'm concerned with is where we're the supervisor of public offices. We are responsible for audits of local governments. That's our county commissions, the county clerks, all everybody at the courthouse, you know, all the elected.
What about
officials.
The assessor's office? Do you audit
the assessor's
them too?
Office, yeah, I was gonna say the assessor's office, the circuit clerk's office. We do the audits of the magistrate court system. We do board of health, economic development authorities, ambulance authorities, fire departments, school boards. As a lot of people don't realize, we do also do the school boards.
Does the school board mean? When you say the board, I mean, you have the board members, but then you have all the staff and teachers and the whole huge school budget. Do you have any role in auditing that?
Yes, it's the county boards of education.
So in other words, if our budget here is like, say, I'm not sure exactly what it is. It's pretty big, though. Say it's $60 million. You audit the whole thing?
So we audit the expenditure. We audit the finance, their financial statements. And in those audits, the majority of the audit will be because of the level of grants that the Board of Education, most of the time is spent on making sure that those grants are, you know, being spent in accordance with the regulations. But also the spending, you know, we make sure that it is in compliance with the rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure that the financial reporting is accurate to the best that you can, because we do samples. So it's not like, you know, when you're doing an audit, people think that it's going to be 100%. Like, you're never going to miss anything.
Right.
But we're just giving a reasonable assurance that, you know,
it's, I see.
It's
yeah.
Materially stated.
Well, like many counties, we have an excess levy and it's 40% of our property tax. So I'm working on trying to figure out, and it's like they're trying to renew it, and it's like $23 million currently, $25 million. It's not a small amount of money. And there's a new, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a new law that says that they have to give you a list of every employee as of the 23 fiscal year, the one that ended, I guess, in June 24, of every employee and how much they make. And that was due on the 30th of September, and I haven't got it yet. So I'm very interested. I'm thinking, you know, I guess a lot of the things we deal with may not be corruption per se, but they're waste. Like, for instance, I found out now, I asked the superintendent, we have 44 central office staff. 44. And when I checked with Kanawha, and we have only 9,000 students, no, 8,200. Kanawha County, when I checked a couple years ago, had 47 for 25,000 students. So it's like this huge amount of waste. I guess that doesn't directly fall under the purview of the auditor, but there's a lot of waste. Or does it? Is it something, anything that would fall under the purview of the auditor, or not really?
So this is something that I'm about to release a statement about. This is that I feel we need to do a waste report, because waste is subjective. You know, like, we may not agree, but one thing about bookkeepers is they're very critical about spending. If you ever, I mean, those are the people to become friends with, you know, is the, because they see every single one of the expenditures. And that other duty of the auditor is bookkeeper for the state. So we would see all of theirs, but we do are able to collect the data because we're responsible for the audits of those local governments. So I feel, even though it's not illegal, but shining lights on wasteful spending can stop the wasteful spending.
So I think so.
I want to do a more aggressive approach to that, because, you know, it's just like a lot of, there was a lot of hoopla about the baby dog being in the mural. I wasn't as concerned about baby dog being in the mural. You know what I was concerned about? That they spent $700,000 for a mural in the first place.
Right. That's in the Capitol?
Yes, that was like $700,000.
That's a waste of money. You're right.
You know, I understand we do want to have beautification, but when you have foster care problem, and child, you know, care problem, I just, it's like with us. You know, if there's a lot of beautification I'd like to do around the house, but I can't afford.
Right. So, new kitchen, new bath, maybe.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. I would love to have a bigger kitchen, but I can't afford that right now. So we need to think about that way when we're spending other people's money.
Right. That's true.
And so I do believe, yes, I'm but thinking a lot about that, I said, you know, we really need to do at least quarterly, or if semi-annually, something on the wasteful spending.
Yeah.
So that the public is aware, because I think a lot of us are busy with our lives, trying to raise our families, and we don't hear about it until the reporters decide, you know, to break the news.
Right. What about, like, I noticed on that, the Mountaineer or checkbook, West Virginia checkbook, what I've looked at, it doesn't tell anybody's salary or anything. Now, the schools are supposed to release the salaries. Of course, I'm going to be following up. I've already followed up, and I'll, you know, follow up again tomorrow, because this report is overdue by law from the, they now do have to release the salaries of all school employees. So that's going to be very interesting to see how much money they're spending on these 44 central office staff. You know, it's a lot of money, you know, and they're pretty well paid. So the point being, in the checkbook, I don't think they have any salary information. Can that be in there or what?
It's, I believe that they have it in a different section. So we used to be able to see that on the VISTA program. He had a, when you log, well, I don't know if it was VISTA or not, the app. It was like the West Virginia State Auditors, it was like an app. But I think he has something in there where it tells you where to go, but I can't remember where it is right now.
Well, yeah, I'm not an
But
expert.
there is somewhere on there where you're at, it said compensation had, it said the compensation report had been moved, but I can't remember where it's moved
But
right
is it
now.
detailed or just like the schools? Well, this year here, it's really interesting on the excess levy is they don't even have a page for it on their website, they being the Jefferson County Schools. And they think it's, I guess, an entitlement or something. You know, well, I'm urging people to vote against it because, you know, I mean, it's 20. They want it's already 23 million. It doesn't expire actually till 2026. Now they want 25 million. They collected 5 million over last fiscal year because of the rising property values.
Right.
And they don't tell you what they spent the 5 million on. I asked and he said, oh, 80% went to salaries. Well, that's very descriptive. 20% was at the discretion of the school board. Well, what? But I asked what you spent it on. They didn't answer. $5 million, more than the $23 million. To me, this is outrageous.
Yeah, because if in Kanawha County, now I don't know, I can't say we still have it, but we used to have a cap. So if you were voting on the $23 million, then there would be a cap that's all they would get. We had one of our, actually the Board of Education members fought for that because he just felt like, because you can't tell, sometimes you might get less than that if there's a lot of exonerations or people weren't paying their taxes, you know, in a timely manner. Then they might have got less, but most of the time you get more. And that's one of the tests that we test those excess levies to make sure that, so you know, it's originally collected in the sheriff's office
right.
to make sure that they are distributing that money to the entities. Because, you know, we have municipalities that have excess levies and we pay them their regular levy, but also their excess levy. And the county sometimes has a special excess levy as well for like EMS and fire. And so we make sure that whatever that levy says it's supposed to be spent for, which I feel like the school boards are probably very, theirs is vague. You know, it's not.
Well, yeah, it's
not,
very vague.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into it more. I asked the board and the superintendent. The board said they didn't know. That's another thing. I know we're maybe getting off a little on a tangent, but it's in our no, I can't speak for the other 54 counties, but in our county, the board doesn't seem to do much on the budget. It's just like the superintendent sends over some budget. This year, they like the excess levy. They said, okay, we want $25 million. We're going to put it on the ballot, although it doesn't expire till June 26. And then they literally discuss it for 8 minutes, and the board's, okay, we'll put it on the ballot. Well, what the heck? I ask all these questions of the board slash superintendent. The board said they didn't know, and then they sent it to tell the superintendent to answer or whatever. And he sort of answered, but 80% he didn't answer. So I guess what I'm trying to say is the board, I think, shouldn't they be responsible for the budget? And then I know that technically superintendent serves at their discretion, but it seems backwards in our county. Seems like he just sends over his bloated budget and they generally say yes.
Well, you know, that has to do also with these positions are elected. And it's just like with the auditor. So we, you know, our current auditor doesn't have an accounting degree. The person that's running against me doesn't have an accounting degree, doesn't have auditing experience. So when you have people that often get elected, especially with school boards, they're not really concentrating on the finance part of it. They're running usually on a different platform. But it would be nice if you at least have one person on the school board that can ask those questions. You would hope you would have, you know, that you would get fortunate enough to have people that are elected that would also be about knowing about that budget, asking the questions. Because, yes, it is ultimately their responsibility. It's like county commissioners. It's like sheriff. Most people don't think about that the sheriff is the treasurer for the county, but usually what they concentrate on is the law enforcement part.
Right.
So that's one of the things when a new sheriff would come in, I would always talk to them about the key things that they need to look at to make sure that the records are being balanced properly.
Yeah.
But this is what happens in politics. I mean, unfortunately. So when the school board election comes up again, this is one of the questions that you need to be asking of your school board members to, you know, to determine their knowledge in regards to the budget
Yeah.
or whatever other concerns that you have. But
Okay.
That's one of the problems.
Yeah. Well, you were mentioning, I saw on your website about auditing education spending, and you did say about it, we've been talking about it right now, and also earlier, I think you said you would do a sample audit of spending, of what they're spending on. But it sounds like the issue is more like, it's more like electoral, and the fact that the board should be more, it seems to me like, I mean, golly, if the superintendent sends over a budget for $60 million or whatever, you know, they shouldn't just say yes. They should ask, like, I sent a whole list of questions, about 80% of which they didn't answer. But I'm looking forward to get that new report, which is late. That's concerning. That's required by the legislature about everybody's salaries and also about disbursements, even all disbursements to vendors and stuff. But, yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is, yeah, so the education spending audit, it's more like just tell us a little more about that if you want.
So we do a financial and compliance audit, and then if they reach a certain level as far as federal grants, then it's called a single audit too, because it deals with so there's other compliance issues that deal with the grants. And when I, it's not called a sample audit. I was explaining that in audits, we conduct a lot of samples of expenditures,
okay,
meaning we do not look at 100% of the expenditures,
right,
because you'd be there all
year. All year.
You'd be there all year. So basically, that's why sometimes something may fall through the cracks that you didn't find out about, because the risk factors didn't point out that, oh, I need to look at that, or that the sample, or it didn't happen to pop up, you know, in a sample.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. We've talked about quite a bit. What about your initiative to audit the state? Do you want to talk a little more about that, what that means?
It's I feel like we rely on the public to do a lot of their own research. So I want to make sure that we audit the state of the education funding. We audit the state of our public safety, you know, expenditures, our EMS expenditure, you know, to let people know how much is being spent in these areas and for our local government, because when they have to submit their financial statements every year. So there's data there that we can use. It may not have the specific of the line items, you know, to say, oh, they paid, a financial statement does have the categories of the vendors, you know, because it's required to have a vendor's list. But a lot of time those categories, the percentage that is being spent. So I want people to be able to understand the financial state of their local governments without them having to have the knowledge that I have, you know, that you don't have to go to school and get an accounting degree to try to understand the numbers.
One thing that's frustrating, like, so the superintendent on the answer to my questions was saying, I said I wanted to know how the excess levy money was spent specifically. And he said, they can't or won't or can't give that information because the excess levy is lumped in with the regular school levy. Is that a proper answer? Or in other words, I want to know, like, how much excess levy was going, say, to the central office staff, and they didn't answer. He says, oh, we don't do it that way. It's all just lumped together. Is that correct, or can that be fixed, or what?
I don't see any reason why we can't mandate that it would be separated. I think it's because of the vagueness. Now, if it specifically said this is to be spent on school building improvements,
mm-hmm.
but I just think the way the excess levy is laid out, they're not required to use it, which I would have to read yours to know.
Yeah.
But if it's laid out vague,
it's very vague. It's like $17 million for salary support for teachers and other staff. It can go for anybody, you know what I mean?
Right. So when it's more specific, then they should set up line items so that they know that this much has been spent. But when it's vague like that, basically they would just put it all together because they're like, hey, we can use it for anything. I mean, when you can use it for anything, basically.
Well, that's what they think. It's an entitlement. Anyway, as you can see, I'm working against it. You know, teachers, I'm trying to even figure out how much the teachers actually get, because they gave me some answers, like so much. Most of the teachers, great majority, are funded by the state, you know, formula. So he said so many are not funded by the state formula. But I now have to go in the code and look up the salaries and do all the math. But as far as I can tell, I'm guessing, not guessing, just in my quick estimation, maybe 5 or 6 million of the 20 current 23 plus million goes to those positions. Well, where is the other 17 million going? You know what I mean? To the central office staff, a lot of it.
Yeah, it's like I would have to see, to like really give you a good answer, I would have to look at the financials, look and read the excess levy.
Yeah, it's a mess. So anyway, we're working on that. But yeah, it would be good to have it broken out more by just the excess levy. And also, it would be good if there was some law that said, you know, I mean, it's common sense, too. But here they're viewing it as entitlement. It's been passed for many years now, you know, every 5 years. Is that, how do you say, they don't give much detail on it. But in my mind, and that's part of my biggest argument, hey, they can't say how they spent the money, no go. Come back, you know, giving us detail how you spent the money if you want more money. Otherwise, forget it.
Well, that will be up to the citizens to,
yes,
to make that statement. Yeah, because we do vote on it. And just got to make sure, you know, the full text is there, you know, when they put it on the ballot, not just a summary.
Yeah.
So you know exactly, which is what they're required by law to put the full text on the ballot.
Yeah, I see it's on there. It's similar to the previous one. There's slight changes. But it's, it's not
transparent. And they have to do it a little bit in advance, because if they wait, then the excess levy would be over and they wouldn't have that money. So they
have
to do it so far in advance before it expires. And usually if you can put it on a ballot when there's election year, then there's not extra cost to the taxpayers to run a special.
They've changed it now. It's not allowed on special anymore. It's got to be on primary or general. Yeah, I think that's good. Well,
and they have to have time in case you voted it down for them to be able to put it back on there again.
Yeah, that's right. If they could possibly put it back in a
20. Yeah, because you can vote it down and then primary. They can put it back on for the next one. So that's why you got to have enough. I know you were saying, it doesn't expire to a certain time, but they need enough time to adapt, yeah.
One thing I was wondering, it might be out of the league, but I noticed on your site that you used to work in the tax office. I assume it means the state tax office. With our local assessment, you know, I know that you said you audit the assessor. I assume that means what they spend. But I'm wondering if you know, and this, again, you know, it might be out of the exact domain of the auditor, but I'm wondering who oversees how they assess. It seems, of course, the state tax office has certain standards and they claim they meet those standards. Who oversees how they're calculating the assessment? Does the auditor have anything to do with that, or that's like completely out of their purview?
Personal property tax division handles that part of it.
Right. So it seems like they're overseeing themselves. Like, so it seems like it needs
not
more
really
oversight.
Because, there does need to probably be somebody that oversees the personal property, the state personal property division, but the state oversees the assessments of the local. Now, we do go in and we make sure that the calculations, like the levy that's been laid and the books that what is in the sheriff, so the books get turned over to the sheriff and then they're loaded onto their tax system. So we double check that calculation is in fact correct for each levying body. But we don't go back and pull and look at someone's assessment to make sure, you know, that that's
right. Yeah, the issues correct. Are is like how they calculate the assessment. Anyway, it may be I'm going to be in the future, you know, working on the legislative aspect of that, because in my research I've discovered some very interesting things. But it sounds like that's not really what the auditor does. I mean, that's outside the purview of the auditor. But yeah. So what about the idea that, you know, how can we incentivize saving money for taxpayers? Because I know there's always tendencies, or correct me if I'm wrong, but like if some department has a certain budget, you know, they always want to keep their budget. You know, they don't want... Or you correct me if I'm incorrect again, like they're not saying, oh, hey, we didn't use $20,000. We'll just give it back to the taxpayer. Instead, they'll probably try to keep it or increase it. You know, how can we like work on that tendency, or do you have any ideas?
Well, at one point I was a part of the local government services that actually did the training on budgets. And I would always say, because as an auditor, I also looked at the budget. I was like, you know, these numbers, some of these numbers are the same. And I would say, you know, this budget really does need to be adjusted. You need to look at what did you spend last year? But they hardly ever, unless there is some great need where revenues didn't come in the way they were supposed to, that they will cut down on the expenditures. But generally, they'll give them back the same amount. You know, so say if the circuit clerk spent $2 million, had budgeted $2 million, and there's not a foreseen reason that they had to increase their budget because there was some unexpected expenditures or something, then normally they just give them what they had originally budgeted back the next year, even though they didn't spend it all.
Right. Yeah, it seems like it could be a better process, you know. It could be.
But the problem is there are no, you know, we can advise them on things like that, which I, you know, I have done personally. Even when I'm doing financial statements and I look at the budget, you know, I might mention it. But ultimately, the county commission is responsible for the budgeting and changing, you know, decreasing someone's budget if they're not spending the money. But what we end up finding is if you go to those extremes, they're going to spend every penny of it. And then you're not going to have a carryover.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, it is what happens.
Yeah.
Is that if they think
they
it's going to be taken,
order something they don't yet need for the future.
Oh, it used to be really, really bad. Like in June, the expenditures would be out of this world.
Yeah. That's
because they were trying to spend up their budgets, but.
Which is the wrong way of thinking. Like, as a public servant, you want to conserve money.
Yeah, which I have to say, is when it comes to the county level, the majority of them, they usually have money left over. But the problem is, you know, they don't cut it. They, you know, but we do have some that will lower the tax rates, you know, when they've got too much.
Yeah, in fact, that's one of the things that's on the it's on the longer levy description. That's interesting. And this year, I haven't seen that description. But I mean, they have the levy on the ballot, but I hadn't seen one of the points was that I'll have to check if it's on the ballot or not. That if the county can reduce the levy if, you know, they want in any given year over the 5 years. So I asked them, since they're bringing in last year coming towards $6 million extra, did they reduce it in any of the last 3 years? And they said no. So, I mean, you know, that's the kind of example of what you're saying. So they're bringing in more money. Property in Jefferson County, anyway, property values are skyrocketing. And then they don't reduce the levy.
Right. Rate, they don't reduce the levy rate. It's the rate.
Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna fire the levy this year. That's what I'm working.
You are?
Yeah, we're gonna not vote for it. That's what everyone listening.
Well, I think everybody, there is a level of accountability that has to be, you know, you gotta at least be able to answer how you're spending the money to be able to convince taxpayers to continue to give you the money.
You'd think
so.
Of course,
you know, I don't know. I want to see our schools fully funded, though. I mean, I want to make sure our children are getting the best education. But we don't want to be wasteful.
Well, the thing is, like, more money.
Accountable.
Yeah, more money doesn't mean always better education. But I agree.
Right,
so I mean,
we do want to know how much. Yeah.
So if they were serious.
Need to take a closer look.
Yeah. They could have said something like, you know, okay, here's how we spent the money. We had this many extra positions. These are all funded by the levy. We had 40 extra positions. They're outside the state formula. And we need $6.32 million. Will you give it to us? And then probably I would say, yeah. But instead they say, we want $25 million. We'll use it for any darn thing we want. And we won't tell you what we're using it for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that would be an issue if I went to my school board. And that was the answer that they gave me.
I mean, now, of course, they don't say it that way, but that's what it amounts to, you know what I mean? Anyway, let's get back to winding up for your run as auditor. Anything you want to talk about? One question I did have before you, you know, give your closing, why, you know, voters should vote for you, is why have the audits been late under Auditor McCuskey? What's going on over there? Or what's going on? Why are they late?
You'll have to ask him that question.
Okay, I don't know. Is it like, I
don't
know. I
think some of it has to do with, you know, turnover. And we only have, there's a list of outside firms that also do the audits. And I just feel like there's things we need to streamline. I'm really concerned about making sure we do quality work, though. I'm not about doing something quicker and the quality goes down because the citizens are relying on us to go in there and do an efficient, effective, cost-effective audit to, you know, because our having our eyes on those finances is very important. We are their eyes and their ears in a sense too, when we go in, you know, so that everybody doesn't have to. And by the way, I would be very FOIA friendly because I believe it's the taxpayers' records, you know, as long as not, you know, certain things have to be redacted, but.
Right. Yeah, good point.
It seems like the state, I don't have as much, I don't feel I see that as much with the local governments as I do with the state denying FOIA requests and coming up with every excuse in the world. I feel like we have the right to to see those, those invoices, the finances, or any other information that we ask, because that's our money.
Okay.
I mean, it'd be like my husband saying, you know, we have this joint account, and then I would be like, no, but you can't look at it. Yeah. You know?
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're right.
Well, since it's joint, now if I had one by myself, I'd be a whole different story. But our account is joint, I guess, because we got married so young.
Me too.
I don't know if they do that anymore. You know, they don't do that as much anymore. But yes, our account is joint.
Me too. Yeah. Okay. Well, to summarize, anything else you'd like to talk about with your candidacy that we should know, or, you know, before we conclude?
Well, we hear a lot about transparency, and transparency is only as good as the underlying records. And my being, you know, a real auditor, and I'm out still looking at the financial records, and I see the underlying records. And we have a lot of turnover in our local governments with the people who have retired, and that training needs to be beefed up so that we can safeguard our hard-earned tax dollars, because I'm the one that does see where people haven't posted a check, haven't posted receipts, are not balancing back to the bank. I mean, that's why there has been a need for, you know, someone like me. But it's getting to be very widespread, and that's one of the reasons that I decided to, you know, to run, because we need someone there that understands this environment, and that it's not just a political stepping stone. My opponent, you know, he switched parties just so that he could win an office. I've stayed in the same party because it doesn't really matter to me for this position. I mean, I don't feel like,
so Mark Hunt like used to be
flipping and all
he
that.
Was Mr. Hunt was a Democrat before, you're saying?
Oh, he was a Democrat until 22 when he won his Senate seat.
Oh, that's very interesting.
And he's actually had his name, like, he's in the same county as me. He has had his name probably on the ballot in different positions every time a ballot comes out. I don't know. I would have thought that he fought, you know, got won his Senate race. That so I was very shocked when he jumped in there at the end. I could probably maybe not shocked because his name is on the ballot, but his term is 4 years for a Senate seat, and he only has 2 years in on it. So I was shocked in that sense that why would you give up your Senate seat when you switch parties to, you know, to win that one. So it's, you know, kind of strange.
Yeah, I think
especially
it is.
Especially when you don't have the skills either.
I think, you know, I'm kind of the general opinion. If someone runs for an office for 2 or 4 or 6 years, they should finish their term. They shouldn't just jump to another office. To me, I don't really like that, personally.
That's what I think, too. And like I said, I really haven't ran into him, so I don't know why he's running for auditor, to be honest. I hadn't really heard.
Okay.
I just know that I am running because I believe that we need to raise the bar with our elected officials. It's the discussion. Most of our discussion has been today is about our needing to raise the bar for people that have oversight over our finances.
Yes.
And we do not have to accept this low standard when it comes to the politicians, because when we go and get a job, there is a standard that we have to abide by, whether it's an educational standard or whatever it is, according to what job that you're doing. It's just like you wouldn't want me to come in and operate on your eyes or your ears or your foot, or because I don't have any of that experience. So why do we accept that when it comes to our elected officials?
Good point.
Especially when we do have a person, myself, that actually does have the skill set, the experience, the knowledge, the understanding of local governments, understanding of accounting, and governmental accounting is even, you know, it's different than even financial accounting. So hopefully this will be, prayerfully, this will be the year that and we can get some good things done in the auditor's office. And I think the people of West Virginia will be very pleased with me as their next state auditor. They'll see the full potential of the auditor's office.
Ah, well stated. Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for coming on today. Of course, I'll put this out on our site and on podcast, any podcast platform. You'll be able to access it under the Richard Urban Show. So, yeah.
And I'm going to research a little more about your excess levy, and you might get a message from me, because now you got me interested in the.
Yeah, I'm interested in where our 25 million
going. I'm
going
to go read their audits. I'm going to read that excess levy order. I want to see.
If you can find it. I could barely even. I mean, it is on the ballot, but it's weird because, like, in last time it came around in 2020, you know, they had posted on the state website, you know, a longer form of it. I can't find it. So it's very, they don't, I guess they figure people are dumb or something and they'll just renew it.
The county clerk's office should have a copy because they have to put it on the ballot.
Well, I know what's on the ballot, but there was like a, how do you explain? It seemed like a longer version of it. Like if you look on the state education
order,
website, yeah, there's
the
like
levy order.
2020, there's some kind of levy order, but I can't find the current
order.
One. I don't see it.
Well, I would think that because those are the things we ask for is the levy order, and I always ask for it from the county clerk.
Well, I don't know where it is. Good point.
Well, I will check into that too.
All right. It might be there. But all right. Well, thank you very much. And yeah, we appreciate you for joining us today, and all the best in your candidacy for auditor.
Okay. Well, thank you for the questions, and like I said, I'll you'll be getting an email from me.